Good morning, everyone. Great to have you here. And if you're joining on another day, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen in on our message. As you know, as I mentioned a few weeks back there, we are going to be doing the online services up until the end of August. So I hope you can stick with us. We're on a fabulous series right now, but it's so good to have you here. So I hope you have come prepared with your crash helmets on and your seatbelts buckled as we fly over the top of this letter that is contained in the middle of the New Testament. And it's entitled Hebrews. And if you've ever watched a video that has been taken by a drone as it flies over a landscape or a cityscape, you will know that it gives you a completely different perspective of that area. So why are we doing a flyover with the book of Hebrews? Because there is a perspective that we need to see. We need to see this from above and see what the main message is. Because it is a phenomenal book, very understated. So I'm glad you're along for the ride, and here we go. I don't know if you've ever heard the term initial singularity, but astrophysicists will sometimes refer to this term and they'll speak of it. And what is initial singularity? Well, it comes from Einstein's theory of general relativity. And singularity is something that existed before the Big Bang. This is a theory. And it's thought to have contained all the energy and space-time of the universe. In other words, what they believe with their equations, as they expound on this, is that there was this thing, this singularity, that everything you needed for the universe to exist was contained in this. Fascinating. I want you to hold that picture in your mind. And we're going to dive now into Hebrews 1. So here we go. Helmets on. I'm going to read to you the first two verses. And here's what the writer, because we don't know who the writer is specifically. Scholars just aren't sure. But here's what the author wrote. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. Stop right there. Do you understand what you've just heard, what you've just read? And by the way, if you have your phone or your Bible with you, don't read ahead. I want you to go step by step with me so I can point out these features that we're seeing in what the author has written. But he starts off by saying that God spoke to us through the prophets, and then now in these days through his Son Jesus. And this whole thing of God speaking, it speaks, and you'll hear this throughout the letter of Hebrews, but it speaks of God's voice that brings life into existence, that is powerful, that when it speaks, life just happens. So what does life does? However, all of this takes place through his Son. The coming of life comes through his Son. And I hope you've gotten this. Before Genesis, Jesus was. You hear me? Before Genesis, Jesus was. We remember Christ. You know, we celebrate Jesus' birth when he came as a human being. But Jesus always has been. That's what the writer is trying to say here. So here's the thing. Jesus wasn't an afterthought for God. It's not like, you know, sometimes we can think that humanity screwed up, God's plan fell apart, and he had to come up with plan B, and Jesus was plan B. No. What the writer here is saying is that Jesus is God's plan A. That's who Jesus is. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. And the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Oh, Jesus, like the sun in our solar system, radiates and exudes all of God's glory. It's just like the sun. When the sun in high noon, its light covers the earth. What the author is saying here is that Jesus exudes, radiates the glory of God. And then he goes on that the sun also expresses the very character of God. The very character of God. In other words, and we taught this a year ago, but when you read the gospel accounts, everything that Jesus says and teaches, that's what God's saying, God's speaking, and that's God's what God teaches. It's the very same thing. All the parables that Jesus taught, those are God's parables. Those are his parables. It's God's heart you see there in those parables. When you read stories of how Jesus interacts with the sick, the poor, the rich, the powerful, the marginalized, the broken, right? When you see how he interacts, that's God interacting with people. That's how God interacts with you, with me, the same way. And when you read about Jesus being whipped, you know, at his trial before he is executed, that's God being whipped. When you read the story of Mary Magdalene outside the tomb of Jesus after Jesus has resurrected, and then the resurrected Jesus comes to Mary and comforts her in her weeping, revealing himself, that's God interacting with Mary. Beautiful picture. But that is God, because that what Jesus expresses is the very character, the very heart of who God is. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. And the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. The author is making a point. The author is setting the stage for the rest of the letter that is going to be written. What the author is saying is that Jesus can be compared to the initial singularity. In other words, everything needed for life is contained in Jesus. Everything. Jesus is the center of absolutely everything. Now the author goes on and quotes a few passages from Psalms that shows that Jesus' name, the Son's name, would be greater than the angels. But we're not going to dive into those because we're doing a flyover, remember. But where the author goes to is what he has stated in this first chapter. It then brings him or her to give a warning to the readers. And the readers are the Jewish believers. And he offers this warning to them. He says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through the angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of obedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose." The tendency here is to read this like God is looking down, and if we veer from the law, God will step out and punish. But I want you to remember something. This letter was written to Jewish believers. Drifting away from the truth of Jesus meant slipping back into the law. Paul, in his other letters, reiterated that over and over again, warned the Jewish believers, don't go back into the law. Don't go there. That's been dealt with. Because Paul, if you remember, Paul many times says, where does the law lead to? It leads to death. Law reveals our brokenness. But it's Jesus who gives life, right? And that's where the author of this letter is urging the followers, don't drift away, don't drift back into the law, right? Because Jesus offers a real relationship with God. It's a relationship of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace, of compassion. It's a relationship of love, right? And the writer says this was all confirmed by the signs and wonders, by miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That all confirmed that what Jesus was teaching, what Jesus expresses, is true and can be trusted. You know, if I drift away from the mercy and grace and forgiveness Jesus offers, what am I left with? What are we all left with? Left to ourselves, to figure it out for ourselves. And we know how that works out. I want to give a little illustration here. Last week I was on vacation and I took 3 days to actually run large sections of the Bruce Trail up in the Bruce Peninsula. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bruce Trail, how they mark it is with what's called blazes. They paint white rectangles on the trees, on the trunks of trees, and they're spaced about, I don't know, 25, 50 meters apart at times, maybe even more than that. So that's how you follow. As well, the path is well worn in most places, not in all places, but in most places. So you can sort of gauge your way through, no problem. But on the second day, I came across where the trail was closed, actually, and they had a detour that was to my left. And how they marked that trail was with light blue blazes on the trees. However, there's no well-worn path. It's just you have to pay attention to the blue blazes. A couple of times, I found myself that I hadn't been really paying close attention, and I was off trail. And so I had to backtrack, and I just had to tell myself, pay attention. Every time I pass a blue blaze, look for the next one, look for the next one, look for the next one. And so I was able to make it through without getting lost, because had I gotten lost, I would have ended up going in circles, and we know how that would have worked out. What's the point? My point is the path to God is blazed with Jesus, right? And it's easy to drift when things are going tough, when it's going rough, when it seems like there is no well-worn path. It's easy to drift off. And that is why the author in Hebrews wants us to listen carefully, very carefully. Because if we don't listen, then we drift off from what's been offered to us. And we don't want that to happen. It's like John Wimber used to say, he's the founder of the Vineyard Movement. And he used to say these words. We don't just study the word, we allow the word to study us. That's what really listening is all about. And it's like when I run the trail, I don't have earbuds in my ears and I'm listening to music. No, I pay attention so I don't hurt myself or get off the trail. And by the way, I never got lost, yay. Although it was extremely difficult at times, I got through it, and I don't regret doing it. And would I do it again? Absolutely. Why? Well, first of all, seeing the blazes, I knew somebody had gone before me to mark that. So I knew if they could do it, I could do it. As well, those markers on the trees somehow gave me a sense of hope, and they also gave me a sense of security in some way. And you know, when I think about it, that's why I follow Jesus, because I know someone has gone before me. And I know, as I'm following Jesus, I know that he is there with me. And I get hope and security from Jesus. And that's why I do it, right? So I got a question for you. How's the journey going for you right now? You know, we've gone through, 3-4 months of this pandemic, and it's slowly easing up, but boy, has it ever been tough. And I just wonder, where are you at? If you're a follower of Jesus, have you gotten off the path? Have you gotten off? Have you drifted away? Because if you have, Jesus is inviting you to come. No, follow me. I've been here. I've gone through this. I know where this is going to take you. You'll be okay. I'm with you. And so he's beckoning you back. Now, if you're watching this video right now and you've never been a follower of Jesus, but you have this sense in you, you know, just, you know, of something that's calling you to come follow me. You know, Jesus calling, speaking to you to come follow. Come follow. That's good. And I want you to say yes to that. But in saying yes, there's also some action that has to take place. It's like with any choice we make in life. It has to be followed through with action. Otherwise, it's a nice idea, and that's all it is. But listen, this is the way to real life, and I want to invite you into it. So there's two things I'd like you to do. One thing I'd like you to do is to pray with me, and we're just going to say a simple prayer. And the second thing is to contact me. Let me know and join me on this journey. You know, and we can work together. We can walk together on this. Just contact me. Send me a simple email. Said, you know what, Scott, I've made this decision to follow, and I just want to follow along with you. And I'd be glad to have you join us. So let's pray right now. Okay, it's a simple prayer. I'm going to pray it slowly, and you can just pray it to yourself as we pray this. So here we go. God in heaven, I've been wandering around in life, doing my own thing, and telling myself that I have it figured out. I don't. It feels like I'm going in circles, and every time I think I'm doing okay, I mess up. I'm tired. I've heard that you are life, that you are the way to real life, and that I can have a real relationship with God. I've heard that you love me and have forgiven me. I want to know that love and forgiveness. And so I accept your love and forgiveness. I am going to follow you. I don't know how to do this, but I trust that as I start, you will guide my feet. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me what God is like. Thank you for loving me. I pray these words to you in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, yay. There is no friend like Jesus. I assure you of that. And while life can be difficult at times, with Jesus, there is that sense of security, that sense of hope, and it's that knowing that you are loved and valued for who you are. So I'm so happy for you. And so if you can email me, that would be great to hear from you. So I bless all of you who are listening and watching right now. Have a wonderful rest of the day and have a wonderful week, knowing that we have this amazing adventure that we are on with Jesus. And this series that we are on, it's going to be fantastic. So I hope to see you all next week. Bless you. Have a good day.